Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
First down, Prescott back. Look at this protection. Deep ball to the middle to Lamb. 35 broke away. Left side 20. Walk your dog. Right on in. Welcome back, C.D. Lamb. 74 yards. Touchdown, Cowboys.
Walk your dog. Welcome in, DFW. Glad to have each and every one of you on board on this Victory Monday for your Dallas Cowboys. They move their record to 3-3-1 after yesterday's decisive 44-22 doubling up of the Washington Commanders. I'm Fred Davis. That gentleman to my right is the only phenom I'll acknowledge, the one, the only, Mr. Blake Elliott.
Speaking of, I mean, I feel like it's been a while since we did the fan phenom audition, so I might be the only fan phenom still standing. I don't know. I'm not, that's a Gavin Spittle, Tim Collins question, but
we're in the throes of Cowboys season right now, man.
Yeah.
We're in the thick of it.
Because that's what happened to me. The Rangers were in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I had to wait till the Rangers won the World Series
to get
hired.
Don't worry about that this time.
Well, how many more weeks of baseball do we have? We're watching game 7 of the ALCS.
Max.
No, 10 days max? What?
Yeah.
The World Series is not going to be... They have off days. It's not 10 days max from today.
Okay, then you answer it then, smartass.
20 days.
20 days. I mean, you hadn't mentioned baseball until Ohtani the other day. Okay? So, calm down, Blake.
Well, the Rangers were out. Ohtani caught my eye. Watching the Brewers get drubbed in game 1, I didn't think it was...
I mean, I will say this. It's been, for whatever reason, and maybe because we are just knee-deep into Cowboys stuff.
I'm going to agree
with you. Cowboys have been... I was really anxious or eager to get into playoff baseball because I do love playoff baseball. But for whatever reason, this year, maybe the fact that we got hit upside the head with Boach leaving the day after the season was over. And then 4 days after that, boom, we get the Skip Schumacher news. Not that that was really all that, you know, all that shocking that he was going to be named the next skipper for your Texas Rangers. But I don't know. It just feels a little bit of an emptiness this playoff go around.
Fred was pretty much right in the head. Game 7 would be November 1st, which is like 12 days. Mm. So
Game 7 would be what, November 1st?
Yes, and today's the 20th.
So we really only have
about 10 or 11 days.
There's no way. Because I'm guessing when would game one be then?
You think he's lying?
Game one's Friday.
Game one's Friday.
The days are released. The times haven't been released yet because it depends on who wins this game.
Baseball will play day after day.
Yeah, I forget. I'm just so used to basketball where there's 2-3 days in between games and flying all over.
So
okay, I'll take it back. I apologize.
Friday, Saturday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday.
What do you mean whatever? I apologize.
It's too late.
Too late to apologize. But what I was going to say was baseball, at least this season, this postseason, it felt like it zipped by. Like we're already in the ALCS game 7. Dodgers are already in the World Series. Like we're done. It felt like maybe because I was watching
Dodgers
the Rangers.
Ran through everybody, it felt like.
But I'm just like, it's almost, we're already at the World Series. It just has felt quicker. I'm sure the days still align similarly. to last year, but it is just felt like each series is going by at the speed of light. And this, I was saying before the show, this Mariners Blue Jays series has been fun to watch because this has been two of the better teams, and it's good to see quality baseball.
That's usually how the ALCS works.
No, sometimes you can see teams get drubbed, and you see a team that shouldn't be there be there. I'm saying you're getting a good seven game series. Saying,
but you get typically the two of the best teams in baseball.
Mm-hmm. They've been exciting to watch as well. Too.
Yeah, I mean, Seattle's been fun to watch. Toronto's been on fire since the All-Star break, so you know. But I think the fact that it is two, I mean, look, if you're a baseball head, touchdown, Jahmyr Gibbs. If you're a, and our 5.5 point spread is not panning out right now, but that's okay. Because I do have Jahmyr Gibbs on my fantasy team. So
I have Abuka sitting on the bench.
Yeah, you do.
Just that's like all right. Else.
I mean, he hadn't done anything. Yeah. And then
I'm sure today, everybody did that. There's no way you played Abuka because you had to bench somebody from Sunday night.
Yeah, no.
Hoping
no.
he'll play.
I mean, last second add-ins on a Monday night. I mean, that's a dangerous way to live. Fantasy-wise. That is a dangerous way to live, fantasy-wise. And then we find out from earlier in the program.
Nice move.
Spin right. Then we learned from earlier in the program that Mike Evans was carted off on a
I didn't see cart. That. He got carted off?
Carted off.
I saw he was playing.
Nah, he got carted
off. And one of his teammates ran into him on an incorrect route.
What'd you say, Dylon, shoulder injury and or concussion protocol?
Yeah, he's out for the game. They said concussion and shoulder injury.
Dude, as soon as you get Mike Evans can't stay healthy, man.
I think this might be his last. I think this might be the cue the boys to men into the road.
So that Abuka draft pick is looking better and better by the day. Then if Mike Evans is towards the end,
but that, I mean, it was not to say that they knew Abuka was going to be what he's become, but you knew you had to get a wide receiver.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm saying like they did it tight end. Like, you know, you need help at that position.
I think it's good to see when teams do it proactively. They don't wait till Mike Evans is out of the building and then go, yes. Hey, we need to go. Hey, Mike Evans is still here. We're going to draft Abuka knowing he's the future. Chris Godwin is still here. We're going to draft Abuka knowing he's the future.
Yeah, of course, you know that Godwin gets hurt every. I mean, Godwin hadn't played a healthy season in what, 2-3 years?
It's been a minute.
It's been a while.
Very Debo right? Samuel.
And you still gave him a contract a year ago, whatever it was. But whatever, that's a Tampa Bay.
The player. Dallas Cowboys, they handed out contracts to Diggs and Bland when they've had their moments of injury, and now we're seeing them obviously be banged up this year. Now they're both
Although
on the
Bland
field.
Bland finally gave you a little something,
juice.
Deron Bland, shout out to him yesterday, having by far his best game of his 2025 NFL campaign. Meanwhile, obviously, Trayvon Diggs did not play yesterday, and of course, still no word on what the situation is with him. Apparently, he came back to the start today and was still experiencing symptoms, and so they sent him back home. You would think that's something that you could call ahead. Mm-hmm. You think he really needs to drive there and or unless they ask him to look?
I'm going to defer to the people that have been in the NFL, but I will say I did see Gronk on a podcast the other day kind of talking about a similar situation of you can't get out of work being in the NFL. You have to show you are sick. He said one day he was like vomiting and they didn't believe him. And I said, and he showed up to the facility and like had one of the team trainers come in the bathroom and see him vomiting in this toilet in the sink. And it's like, hey, that's the only way you're getting a slip out of not being there, and especially a guy like Diggs, who we already say a bunch of stuff from him in the front office is taking slights, he probably can't call in sick. He probably has to show up, and they have to send him home in a way.
I just think it's crazy that you know, if you've got a quote-unquote head injury, they're like, no, we need you to come in.
But I'm saying that's a trusting. I'm saying, do you think if Dak Prescott has a head injury or has a headache, they're going to be like, we need you to prove it?
Well, they're probably sending somebody to go get them.
That's what I'm saying. It's a difference. Diggs, okay, let's drive up here. Let us check you.
I understand all that. Yeah. I'm just saying it just seems a little, you know, you're on the hook. God forbid something happens. I mean, I would think there's got to be, and the word.
Maybe he didn't drive himself up there, though.
I hope that's what happened. Mm-hmm. I hope Mrs. Diggs or whoever.
A representation for the team.
His
agent,
assistant,
PR.
Somebody.
Do you think everybody on the Cowboys has an agent, or not an agent, an assistant?
No.
What players do you think have an assistant? Like, go shopping for me, make sure I'm here at this time, make sure I'm at this media deal.
I mean, I would only imagine a handful do.
Where do you think it stops? Do you think like Jake Ferguson? I think like Jake Ferguson's like. Do you think he has one that like sets up all of his media stuff?
No, because he's married.
Okay.
They might have a joint publicist, but I mean, is Jake getting that kind of?
He does a couple things. Obviously, he does stuff here at the Fan. I'm sure he goes to Albertsons and does some community service and stuff like that. I would have to assume.
Albertsons? Really? You think Albertsons is the place he's doing his customers? Yeah,
the Cowboys always do stuff at Albertsons. Am I wrong? I feel like...
No, you are correct.
I feel like Albertsons and the Cowboys are always doing different stuff. That's like their
See,
one...
See, I think it's... You sure it's not Tom Thumb?
Same difference.
Yeah.
Tom Thumb.
Kind of a big deal.
I think it's both, right?
It might be both.
I think it's both.
I mean, doesn't Dak do Kroger?
Yeah, I hear
Dak doing his... You know, drive up shopping grocery ads all the time,
those.
Where he's just rattling off the ridiculous amount of food that apparently somebody was trying to order for their tailgate party.
Is NFL players in random commercials not just the funniest thing ever? I just think it's funny.
I like it when they're on commercials that I don't know that I'll ever buy for.
But
it
makes you
why
think.
Why are they doing it? You know,
what's the most random player on a commercial you've seen from like a Cowboys perspective? Tolos, text it in 877-881-1053. What's a Cowboy that you've seen on a commercial? It made you scratch your head for a second. Someone said it's both Albertsons and Tom Thumb.
It's give both.
Give myself a bell ring.
I was
going
to say, because I know...
and Dylon.
And Kroger. And I know it's... Or is it Tom Thumb that Dak does? Either way, I shop at Walmart. Who cares? It's irrelevant.
We got to get you out of Walmart.
I bounce back and forth between it and Target now.
Target's like, I got a haircut. It's the weekend. I get paycheck
well,
just hit.
Well, I mean, isn't it about Target? No, and I'm going to tell you right now, though, real quick. 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053. That is the Franklin Injury Attorney text line. We're going to talk about this Cowboys victory from yesterday, 44-22 over the Washington Commanders. Now, I'm going to tell you something about Target. They are starting to lower their prices.
They got to compete.
They have to, and I'm going to tell you why. Number one, you're right, they do have to compete. But B, I was there the other day because it's right down the street from, or it's in the same little shopping center as Absolute Recomp. And so I'll go hit the gym, then I'll, you know, walk over to Target. 26-ounce party-sized Cafe Bustelo, normally $25 at Target and Walmart, $15, boys.
At where? At Target?
At Target.
Do they have the little rollback kind of like marker to let you know? They get you with the red price tag. You're like, whoa.
That's what got me. I was going to get my little brick of coffee, and sure enough, it said save $9. And I was like,
Are you
it's a no-brainer.
Are you doing like any psychoanalysis when you're in supermarkets of like why different things are at certain points of the shelves and all that stuff? Or are you just shopping? I'm just asking.
I
do that. That's my problem. It takes me forever to shop because I look at all this stuff. I'm like, well, this stuff's on the top shelf because it's healthy. This stuff's on the bottom because it's not. This stuff is expensive because it's there.
If
I can never just grab and go.
Buying the same thing for the last 20 years of my adult life, then maybe.
Yeah.
But I buy the exact same things.
All right. Before, in the next segment, we'll kind of break down the Cowboys game. Before we do that, Fred, do you want to enlighten the people and make fun of me of what happened before the game even started yesterday?
I mean, I wouldn't make fun of you for it.
Okay, I'll take it. I can own up to it.
And it's shame on me for not saying anything to you because I didn't even notice it. But, you know, for a lot of you, as you guys know, Blake and I will meet up at the Social House in that large, and I may be saying too much, don't... Don't steal our vehicles or key our cars, please.
Just drop the location of where we're at.
It's not mine because I drive. But no, so, you know, Blake and I meet and then we go drive because we only have one parking pass. So we
Tim sent me one.
He did?
Yeah, he did.
Well, then why the hell did I pick you up then?
Because I wanted to hang out with you.
Whatever, bro. So I pick up Blake yesterday. We go to the lot 4. And as we're getting out of the truck, you were like, "Hey, you don't have your
media
credential." And I was like, "Oh yeah, it's in my middle console." So I go grab it, and Blake says, "Oh, I don't have mine." And so I said some not safe for radio words. I said, well, what, "It's in your car, isn't it?" "Yes, it is." "Okay, so now we're gonna miss the start of the game because we got to drive and get out
in the middle of Cowboys traffic."
In the middle of Cowboys traffic, so we're leaving the lot, and apparently all 6 attendants, God bless them all. But all said the exact same thing 6 times in 6 different ways because apparently Blake and I couldn't comprehend the first 10 times they said it. You guys realize that if you leave here, you can't come back in.
Because me and Fred were just like, we'll drive back to our location.
We just got
to
go run down the street. We'll be right back. They're like, no, you can't leave. You can leave, but you just can't come back in the lot.
So me and Fred looked at each other for like 5 seconds. We're like, what do we do?
So then I park right there as we try to like come up with a plan. Like, now, obviously you're going to have to just like walk or do something. I don't know because I'm not driving all the way out for us to be stuck. And then this other brother comes walking up. He's like, hey, man, you know that if you guys leave, you can't come back in, right? Okay, dude. And he tells us that three different times.
He said, you're SOL if you
leave. Yeah, I mean, and as if we hadn't heard it from the first three times. So Blake decides he's going to Uber to the vehicle, which, like I said, what did it take? 15, 20 minutes?
Took me about 20 minutes. Yeah. It didn't help that my Uber had just missed the drop-off spot. So they had to go all the way around AT&T. I started walking towards the Uber, got in the car, explained the whole situation to her. She drove me to where my car was. I got my credentials. I said, hey, can you drive me right back there? She said, no problem at all. Turned off. Mm. She said, I'm done driving for the day. I'll drop you off. Was a super nice lady. Told her we'd give her a shout out. So shout out to Nicole.
Shout out, Nicole.
She was phenomenal. Great vibes and got me there quickly. And I think I only missed, the safety?
You missed, no, I don't even think.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you miss safety?
It was 7-2 when I was walking.
No, that's right. You did miss safety. So you had just gotten there. I think it was like 7 minutes and 40, 50 seconds, something like that. So not a lot of time. By the way, anybody who took the over on the 2.5 plates of mac and cheese, you won. He did get 3 plates of mac and cheese yesterday. So a solid outing from start to finish. Although then again, for the reason you corrupted the media file with Jerry. So let's go ahead and just put that cherry on top. So just a rough outing all the way around for one Mr. Blake Elliott yesterday, but he lives to tell the tale. All right, we got a huge show for you guys today. You guys know how we do on a Monday night. 877-81-1053. That is the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorney text line. Let's get into a little bit of this Cowboys game from yesterday. The biggest takeaway for us is let's not make too much of it. But then on the flip side of that, knowing what you know now about this offense for another week, especially with CD in the mix, does this change what this team needs to do defensively? We'll discuss that. We'll do a little NFL stack. Fair or foul, we've got NBA and Mavs to get into as well. And then we got a care package from our friends over at Anta. We'll discuss that later in the program as well. So much to get into. What were our predictions on Saturday? What did we get right? What did we get wrong? And what needs to happen moving forward for your Dallas Cowboys? Lots to get to. Don't go anywhere. It's Fan After Dark.
This next segment on the Fan After Dark is brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call Frankel first. 214-817-333-3333. With Frankel and Frankel, there's never not a bucket cost. They only get paid when you win. Frankel and Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas.
He just got the snap off, flushed out by Odighizuwa, and he's going to be almost hit by Clark. Throws it away. It's intercepted. He threw up a duck. Here comes Bland down the sideline. It's a pick six. It's a pick six. The first touch of a ball by a Cowboys cornerback this year.
What a play from Deron Bland yesterday, and that, of course, pretty much slammed the door shut on the Cowboys' victory yesterday. 44-22, that was the final score for your Dallas Cowboys. And so, you know, I'm it's always nicer in the Cowboys' locker room. Pause. After a win, unless it's Donovan Wilson and he's telling me that he doesn't want to listen to the interview, or he's good on the interview, like what happened yesterday. We will play Fred's locker room audio from yesterday tomorrow. All right, because we're kind of inundated. We got some shoddy stuff that we're going to play today. We've got some Stephen Jones, who was on earlier today with KNC. Then, of course, Blake was in the scrum with Jerry Jones yesterday, asking the hard-hitting questions. Hey, Jerry, do you think Dak's playing at an MVP level this year?
I said, do you think Dak is the MVP of the league right now? Not playing at an MVP
harder,
level.
Even harder question.
Well, here's the thing. Guess Dak is playing at MVP level. But yeah. Jerry Jones saying that he is the MVP of the league, not just MVP of the team.
That's, I mean, come on. That's
and then I followed it up. What was my follow-up question then, smart guy?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I was so taken aback by the first hard-hitting piece of
my follow-up
journalism.
Question was, what did Clayton Adams and Schottenheimer do with him in the offseason making us see as good of a Dak?
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
then he gave credence to it.
We will follow up with that in the next segment.
That's why we're a duo, Fred. I'm just the questions about why aren't you fired? Why are you still the GM? What this and that? Why don't you kick Matt Eberflus off the team? And then I'll be like, Jerry, man, this what a good pickup of Ryan Flannoy.
This is why this duo works so well.
Yeah.
They'll
invite me like, hey, okay, yeah, Blake, can I bring Fred? I don't. Sure.
Ooh, is he going to ask all the hard questions?
And then boom, we go back and forth.
And, you know, had I gotten maybe Diamond Wilson would have said yes to our interview if it would have been a 1-2 punch yesterday.
1-2 punch. Like, Donovan, I like the kicks, man. Got big hit today. I liked what I saw. Been a big fan. Can't stop talking good about you on the radio.
See, this is where.
I wouldn't say that. I'm messing.
Because I would have immediately stopped.
He's a fraud.
Jalen Tolbert, come here for a second. Come here for a second. I got your best buddy in media over here. He wants to ask you a couple of questions about why you're so effective in three wide receiver sets. And what looks different about you this year versus years past.
Tolbert outsnapped Turpin and Flannoy.
And Flannoy!
Is that a problem?
You and I looked at each other yesterday at one point and we were like, what? Like, why are we seeing this?
And they think he had one target? Correct me if I'm wrong. I think one target.
One that I remember.
One target in the holding penalty.
Maybe two. I was going to say, I know there was a penalty involved, but.
Flannoy and Turpin. I understand Turpin.
Turpin I totally get.
Like, he had like 20-ish snaps.
Which is fine. I have zero issue, especially in a game like yesterday where that game was pretty much done midway through the third quarter. But
Flannoy,
why he's getting more snaps, other than just familiarity with the offense.
That's the only thing I can think of.
And that's the only thing that makes sense. Because outside of that, I mean, he was on the field a lot yesterday.
Well, Flannoy outsnapped Tolbert and out-targeted him when he went off, not against Carolina, but the week before against the Jets.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think Tolbert's wide receiver 5 on his team. And we're going to give you the injury update. Jonathan Mingo just got activated. So
Jonathan Mingo did get activated. But I'll tell you what. Let's go with Steven. This is from today. Let's go with Steven 3. Now, we do know that Shoddy was in the defensive meeting rooms last week. And so some of that question was asked. Was that on purpose or is that because you wanted to – tighten the screws up a little bit on Matt Eberflus?
No, I think it's the former. I think, at the end of the day, Shoddy can bring, we call it self-scouting a lot to the table in terms of looking at our defense and, hey, this is how I would come after you. And here's where I think we're, vulnerable. And certainly I wanted to spend more time really walking through, with Matt kind of where he thought we could do some things that would make it more challenging. And, to me, it's just, it's hats off to Coach Schottenheimer. I mean, taking the ball and run with it, that's what great head coaches do. They're, a head coach, everybody wants to say, well, he's an offensive guy or a defensive guy. The great ones, I think, are involved in everything. I mean, Bill Parcells was involved in the special teams meetings, the defensive meetings, the offensive meetings. He did it all. But I think it also goes, it's a great compliment to the group Shoddy has over there between Chimko and Clayton and those guys that, he's confident that, they'll get him the information he needs so he can call the type of game he wants to call and understand the game plan.
I mean, I appreciate the answer from Steven. I mean, look, I have zero issue with it if you're Shoddy. Like, no, this is what you have to do, right? And you've got a football team that right now, had you beaten Carolina, you'd be at 4-2-1, and you'd be sitting in that seventh or eighth spot for the playoffs right now. Right now, you're currently at 10th. You'd be sitting there at 7th or 8th somewhere, depending upon, you know, tiebreakers and everything else. And, look, I get it. We're only 8 weeks into the season, so, you know, it is very early for the proverbial, you know, playoff push or start to look at playoff seedings. But when every week counts and when you have, you know, slates of games that, you know, you and I and everybody else, I mean, you were better than the Commanders yesterday.
There was never a point in that game where I was watching where it felt like the Cowboys were not in control or they might lose this game. There wasn't really any point. And that happens in most Cowboys games. I'm like, it's kind of up and down, or I think the Cowboys are going to lose.
Like that the whole way. Maybe with the Jets after they knocked the fumble. Yeah.
But like this pretty much from start to finish, granted I got there,
you got there.
3 or 4 minutes into the first quarter. But it just felt like the Cowboys were in control of this game. Jaden Daniels was off. And usually that's a threat when the other, like when the Cowboys are on defense and you're playing a high caliber offense, you're like, okay, this could go either way. But Jaden Daniels was off and missing. And it felt like every other throw, so it didn't feel like there was much pressure on the offense. Like, you have to score right here because Washington wasn't doing much.
But the offense at the same time, though, I mean, for the umpteenth week in a row outside of the Chicago game, looked like there was no pressure.
They are on them. They're the number one offense in the NFL right now, and I feel like that's pretty hard to dispute. 3 40-point games.
Actually, the Colts right now.
Have an EPA,
a little bit better EPA perspective.
I'd still give it to the Cowboys. I think they are the best offense in the NFL right now. I mean, we can look at a bunch of advanced numbers left and right. The Cowboys, Lions, and Colts are kind of all top three.
Lions, Chiefs, Colts.
Yeah, I had to put the Chiefs in there, huh? As of recent, the Chiefs. But you got to think about the first, 3 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, they're still scoring over 20 points. I mean, what are we talking about?
Cowboys are scoring like 35.
Yeah, okay. I mean, which point?
Over 20 points is a top one.
I still understand what you're getting
Chiefs
at.
Chiefs are scoring over 20 points, so they're definitely a top three offense. That's the barometer over 20?
Are we looking at, are we talking about today or are we talking about 6 weeks ago? What are we talking about?
Just overall, both encompassing. Just like when you think of the best offense.
As of today, as of week 7.
They're 5.
You know?
They're 5.
Take whatever you want. You can call whatever you want.
It's
a good group to be in.
There's not that many negatives, but to you, who were the biggest standouts? Dak Prescott, again, was amazing. It just doesn't feel like he's making any bad plays. Like, they're usually almost every game we watch Dak of recent memory, it'll be like 3 or 4 throws. We're like, Dak, oh my gosh, as soon as it leaves his hand, what are you doing? Or why would you throw it in that window? Or why did you run? Or why did you check out his play? It feels like you have to be an extreme hater right now to watch Dak Prescott play a game and you're like, oh, that was a bad play. That was a bad play. He just feels like he's making all of the right plays, making all the right throws and all the right reads.
The throw he made to George Pickens yesterday was one of the best throws I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
It almost looked AI generated.
On the right sideline or the second one?
No, the one on the left where he.
Right before half.
The second, or yeah, as they were, you know, that he caught on Lattimore. Yeah. With Lattimore, you know, hanging on the right
Both
side.
Both of those
of
catches
him.
Were insane.
And
throws.
I mean. The way he's playing and I listened to a little, I was able to catch a little bit of it, of the game. I watched a little bit of it last night. And the way he and George Pickens with CD going out for those 3 or 4 games and then the chemistry that him and George Pickens.
It's insane.
I mean, look. George Pickens is better than DeVonta Smith. George Pickens is better than T. Higgins. All right?
There's an argument, but I would say this year it's pretty hard to dispute that. Give me George Pickens. But it's definitely like if you're a Bengals fan, you're probably pom-pomming for Higgins. And if you're an Eagles fan, you're probably pom-pomming for Smith. But I think it's pretty undisputed that George Pickens is the best two in the league right now.
Look, he's the best two in the league right now, and it's not even close.
Yeah.
I would argue after what, you know, DeVonta Adams
did
yesterday.
I was going to say DeVonta still – chugging.
Who's still doing, I would argue right now the best wide receiver duo in football right now is 1A, the Rams, mm-hmm. when Puka's healthy, because Puka and DeVonta are Puka's having a monster year, injury notwithstanding. And then 1B, 2A, whatever the hell you want to call it, is the Cowboys.
Dude. And definitely helps when Javonte's chugging again, the 33-yard run. My favorite run was the 16-yarder where he hits the little sidestep to the left. It looks like he's about to run in like the C-gap and just plants his right foot, jumps to the outside. I think he makes another cut. You were spot on the head? Head on the nail? What's it called? Right on the nail?
Hit the nail on the head.
Hit the nail on the head on the Javonte Williams call, because he has been a beast. He's top 5 in yards. He's, I think, top 2 in the league in touchdowns. EPA per play. He had the one stinker against Carolina, which nobody played well in. But Javonte Williams has been a revelation. I think it's just helping the offense.
George Pickens did.
What happened?
George Pickens did.
George Pickens did
played well against Carolina.
Oh, he did. Good call. But
he was the only one.
It just goes hand in hand where the offensive line is protecting. Javonte's finding holes, and then they start collapsing on that. Now all of a sudden you got CD, George, and Jake Ferguson going one-on-one on the outside. There's not any bad things I can say about this Cowboys offense right now. I think this is since 1970, I think I heard Chiafalo saying this, with three 40-point games in your first 7 weeks, Cowboys are on another level offensively, and it just begs the question. Are you going to make a move at the trade deadline because of how good your offense is?
Well, I'm going to tell you. Well, here's where you got to stop, though. I shouldn't say stop entirely, but here's where I want to, before we start getting too excited about this offensive performance. And I, you know, I'm glad. So we did the Specs Tailgate Show yesterday morning because of the time the game was on yesterday. By the way, shout out to Chiafalo for filling in for Wooly Bully yesterday, doing the morning halftime. And, of course, our boy Broadus does it every Sunday. Shout out to all those guys. I kind of fell victim to this after the Jets game. Right?
Oh, I'm not pom-pomming the Cowboys season.
I'm not either. What I'm saying is, though, this is a Super Bowl caliber offense, but we say that you've beaten up on.
I mean, you've beaten up on every team. Offensively,
I think we're starting to realize.
Carolina game, yeah, I know. But you still
Packers,
put up.
The Packers, I don't know what to make of the Packers just yet. Mm-hmm. All right? Like, I think we can all agree the Packers might not be as good as we thought they were.
Other than the Bears game, have the Cowboys had a bad offensive showing, though, in any game? Just offensive.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem. Your offense was not great against Carolina.
I mean, what was it, 27?
You scored 20. No, look. I understand that. You scored 27 points.
It was bad in spurts.
But that was the problem, right? Mm-hmm. Is that on a game when your offense had to carry you, mm-hmm. they were unable to do so.
I would say they didn't play perfect against Carolina, but they still played damn good. Like, it was
did they? I mean, George Pickens did.
That last drive, the play calling was horrendous. And how they started off drives in general, first and second down, the play calling wasn't great. But I would still give them a B flat for the offense in that game.
But here's the problem. You can't. The way this team plays is you...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. PNC's apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't afford a B-flat performance.
No, I agree. That's why I'm not putting the Cowboys in the playoffs. And plus, I don't think they're a real contender. But
and I'm going to go back to something that, you know, when Broadus was talking about how bad they were against Chicago, like, and this is the crummy part. This is the crummy part is that you score 27 points and your running game was bad. Your protection was average at best. And outside of George Pickens, you really didn't do much offensively.
Continue.
So, but my point in all that is that I want to see you have to go beat Denver on Sunday.
Agreed.
I don't think it's that tall of a task anymore. The Giants to do that. Now, I hate to say this, but could we see the Cowboys giving up 33 points in a quarter? Absolutely, we could.
Yeah, we could.
Like, let's not pretend. I mean, look, I get it. You beat the Commanders, mm-hmm.
But the Commanders had Marcus Mariota and Luke McCaffrey as their number one option in the second half.
We'll wrap it up more. We're here. Closes out.
I'll tell you what. When we come back, Dak on playing at an MVP level, courtesy of Mr. Jerry Jones and Blake Elliott. And was Shoddy in a rhythm yesterday? Was he in the zone? We'll discuss more.
This next segment on the Fan After Dark is brought to you by Classic Chevrolet. If you're in the market to upgrade your vehicle, get to Classic Chevrolet in Grapevine. Back-to-back number one Chevy dealership in the world. They've got more new Chevys than anyone, all priced to sell. Visit ClassicChevrolet.com. This is Texas. This is Classic Chevrolet. Together, let's drive, relax, and enjoy the difference. Based on new Chevy registrations, 2023 and 2024.
Okay. Just giving that pregnant pause. I wasn't sure if we were coming back with the one of the many highlights from yesterday's 44-22 shellacking of the Washington Commanders. Again, we'll get hot and heavy when it comes time for the Broncos on Sunday. I mean, that's I think that the tenor of everything changes at that point. If you
100%,
well, first 100%. Of all, it'd be the first time this year that you've actually won two games in a row.
100%,
right?
I'm not going to get too high, too low after this game. You're glad to see it. You're happy to see it. The offense looks like the best offense in the league. The defense looked better, quotations, asterisks.
Which isn't, I mean, as bad as they looked.
But we'll have to wait and see. That Broncos game will really be, all right, let's start making some moves. This team's for real.
Now, you got to beat Denver. You have to beat Denver on Sunday.
You lose 30-13, then it's just up and down.
I mean, I think they'll hang around with them. I mean, no. I think they're going to score on that Denver defense. First of all, you're going to have no Dre Greenlaw. He's out.
We'll get to that. We got a whole week to preview that.
But no, you should win, but we'll see. All right, speaking of which, we'll give our predictions about that game on Saturday because that's what we do each and every Saturday here on Fan After Dark on the weekend. This is our weekly deal now where we recap and revisit what we said on Saturday.
Nice shot, Doc! You're not gonna believe this! We gotta go back to 55!
I don't believe it!
I'm going 27-16. Dallas Cowboys win tomorrow. I've got a... You know, I want to have a linebacker do something special, but it's like, which linebacker would it be? That's the problem.
You tell me.
I don't know. That's the problem.
Shamar James, we kind of like him.
I kind of do like Shamar James.
Does he like force a fumble tomorrow?
But you know what? Reddy Stewart scores a touchdown.
Ezra Rocco for a sack.
Okay.
Reddy Stewart. Listen to our boy,
Khaki Kev.
Reddy Stewart with a scoop and score.
Jaden Blue scores his first touchdown tomorrow.
This guy's going for the $1 pays out $10 million parlay right here. Who next? Malik Davis gets three touchdowns.
And you know what? I'll tell you what. Let's go with Ferg. Continues his domination and scores another touchdown. Then, of course, we get two. But I'll tell you what. Your Dallas Cowboy defense, three turnovers tomorrow.
Wow.
Three turnovers.
Can we throw in an Ezraku sack? First one of the season?
Throw it in.
Okay. You and Kevin doing that. We did get an Ezra Rocku sack.
We did.
We actually did get y'all kind of all three of us assisted on the Shamar James. He did have a strip sack. He forced a fumble, excuse me.
And we did have a secondary score touchdown. It wasn't Reddy Stewart, but we did have a defensive touchdown yesterday.
So pretty accurate. Was it you or Kevin that called the Ferguson? You called Ferguson.
No, I called Ferguson.
Ferguson does get in the end zone.
But Khaki Kev was big on the Ezra Rocku getting his first sack, and he certainly did yesterday.
You also called Jaden Blue. He 7 carries, 34 yards, so
hey,
better.
Hey, you know what? Encouraging.
Didn't get in the end zone, but still close. And then what was your score prediction?
27-16.
Okay.
27-16.
So you just underestimated both teams. Okay. What we got? We got my predictions now? All right, let's see if these are any better. And I'll go ahead and do my pick right here. Defense will once again struggle. Even against a Commanders battered and bruised wide receiver room, Bill Kroski Merritt has two touchdowns.
Wow.
Has over 120 all-purpose yards.
Wow.
Christian McCaffrey. Luke McCaffrey gets a touchdown as well.
Wow.
Nope. Zach Ertz gets a touchdown.
He did get that one.
The Commanders score 28 points. Mm. The Dallas Cowboys score 35 and get the W.
You did.
Actually, you know what? Take off
How would I make one of those a field goal? Make it one field goal, but with 35.
For the Cowboys
For the Cowboys.
All right, so that would give it. That would make it 31-28.
And let's give the Commanders a field goal too.
Okay, so you want it to be 31-24?
There you go, my new score. Shout out to Fred Davis, the mathematician. 31-24. You are going to get a Brevin Span 4 pitch.
Oh! Wow.
This guy's gonna clown me for the Reddy Stewart prediction.
TD, okay.
You're also gonna get a George Pickens touchdown.
Okay.
Almost.
Close.
You're gonna get a Javonte touchdown.
Okay, Javonte. You thinking Malik Davis maybe sneaks in the end zone tomorrow? Malik,
but I'll say that for you. You're going to get Dak Prescott running in a touchdown.
Oh, a Dak rushing touchdown. And then just for the sake of this argument, what do you have? What's Aubrey kicking? Like an 85-yard field goal tomorrow? Maybe into the sun?
So I have one field goal based on my score prediction?
You do. It's 31-24.
Aubrey Cowboys. Has one field goal, and it's from 47. I can't wait to replay this. I'm going to be so right.
This is going to be awesome tomorrow.
Man, 14 yards off.
No, he actually did have a 47-yarder, though. He had a 29-yarder, a 47, and a 61. Brandon Aubrey did.
He did kick three field. He kicked three field goals yesterday?
29. So I got one right on the mark, 47.
I just remember that 61-yarder that he kicked. It looked like an extra point.
Dude, everyone in the press box, Commander's press box included, everyone was just like, dude, that looked so easy. He kicked that.
Like, you take it for granted. I mean, it's the most. He's kicked the most 60-yard field goals in NFL history.
It was right down the middle. Above
you don't even think twice about it.
Everyone's getting popcorn. Like, that's going in.
There you go. 61-yard field goal. Pretty good.
I did not expect to see no Brevin Span forward touchdown. I was really holding out on that one.
I'm going to go on a limb and say, did he even get a target yesterday?
No,
I don't think he did.
He didn't. No, he didn't.
You know, I mean, he got that first. You know, it's kind of unfortunate, too, because think about it. He had the first catch in the Carolina game.
Right? Him and Ryan did not get a Flannoy. Did not get.
I was going to say Ryan Flannoy, man, he was not targeted at all. Jalen Tolbert had two targets yesterday.
Yes, he did.
So there's that. Jaden Blue had one. Hunter Lipke. They said, you know what? We let you score against the Carolina Panthers. Don't expect to score again for another 4 or 5 weeks. Jake Ferguson had. I mean, hey, his yards per catch. Isn't going to light the world on fire by any means, and he's already been paid, so I think he's already hit all of his incentives. But tack on 7 for 7 once again for Jake Ferguson for a robust 29 yards.
But and I've said a bunch of things about Jake about they keep throwing it to him behind the line of scrimmage, at the touchdowns. Line of scrimmage. But his catches are meaningful. Like you said, they're in the red zone. It's on 3rd and 2, and Dak trusts him. So is Ferguson, Tyler Warren, Brock Bowers, Kittle, Kelsey, no.
They don't need him to be, though.
They don't need him to be. Is he clutch? There's not that many drops. Is he a big target? The thing that I've liked, and I'm not breaking any news here, hot take, how he is in the red zone, how he's a big target for Dak. Because when you get in the red zone, Fred, what would you do against the Cowboys to stop them from scoring? I want to say the...
Well, the problem is that, and Ben Troop said this to us before the season even started. He said, look out for Jake Ferguson because you can't double him anymore. Because
Pickens is a huge red zone target, whether you're in the red zone or outside the red zone.
Pick your poison in the red zone.
CD, we know, can rot up anybody. Javonte's shown that he can score from inside the red zone and scamper. Dak, we know, is not afraid to use his legs either. And then you have Jake Ferguson one-on-one with a linebacker or safety, and you got him... slipping out. So I think the Cowboys red zone offense has been really good. I want to say, I'll put this out here. Maybe Dylan, Fred, or the Tolos can put the actual numbers and facts to this. I think the NFC East is the most effective / productive division inside the red zone. Because the Eagles had been. They were like at 100% through like 4 weeks. We know the Cowboys have been super efficient in the red zone. I want to say the Commanders don't get to the red zone much, but when they convert. Huh?
So they don't count.
No, I'm just saying as far as like if they've had 7 opportunities, they've scored on 5 of them. Like I'm not saying the number, but just the efficiency of when they get the red zone of scoring touchdowns. The Commanders have been really good at that. And then the Giants, I think, have also been decent about that. So I think the NFC East is the best red zone team from an efficiency, not a volume standpoint.
Okay, here we go. NFL team red zone scoring percentage. This is touchdowns only.
Yes.
From team rankings. Number one, the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yep. Okay.
Number two, the Washington Commanders.
There you go.
Dallas comes in at number 8.
Wow.
And the Giants are a 26.
But, I mean, you got 3 teams in the top 10 in the red zone.
3 teams in the top 10.
That's pretty good. Yeah. Okay, look at that. Shout out to Dylan with the stats. And
shout out to you for thinking of it. Meanwhile, our boy Jake Ferguson on the season, 58 targets.
Wow. At least a team, right?
Oh.
Yeah. Because who? I would
guess. Leads the world outside of Jamar Chase. And then he's got 51 catches.
That is really good. You said how many targets?
58.
So he's only dropped 7 catches. That's
or
very good.
He's either dropped and or they've gone at his feet. Now, look, yard per catch, not going to light the world on fire. He's averaging
a robust 4.4.
Nah, he's a little more than that. Don't disrespect my boy like
7.3.
that. 7.3. Not quite. 6.5. But he's also got 6 touchdowns.
Dude, and that's what I'm saying. Okay. It makes up for it. Because if you write that same stat line he had today with no touchdowns, we're like, what are you doing?
Yeah, no, I mean, 7 for 29.
But when you throw in two touchdowns.
Two touchdowns. you really have to throw in the 2 touchdowns to make it worth the while, to say the least. But yeah, 51. He's 4th in the NFL with 51 catches.
Let's go.
Jake Ferguson is, right?
Let's go.
150 plus, though, on the 6.5 yards per carry. Okay. Tied for 1st in the NFL. With 6 touchdown receptions, all right.
I want to
so
say
making it work.
I want to say Pickens, Javonte, and Ferguson are all top 5 in the NFL in touchdowns. Like tied.
Yeah, everybody. I mean, this team scores touchdowns in droves, man. I mean, that's exactly what this offense does. And as excited as we want to be for beating up on a moribund Washington team. All right, and we'll, again, what's the 24-hour rule? We'll be excited for it today. We'll put a bow on it tomorrow, and then we'll get hot and heavy on all things Denver Broncos.
Want to do some
tomorrow.
Cowboys audio next?
Do you want to do Cowboys audio next?
Let's just do it. Let's do all the Cowboys audio that Dylan did a great job finding and digging up. So we'll hear what Jerry had to say.
Let's do it.
Shoddy had to say, and any Steven cuts, so you guys are caught up on that.
Do that.
Let's do that. Coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why it's not outside of Cleveland, you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.